Well, today on this last Sunday of the liturgical year, the church celebrates the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe, or Christ the King, the solemnity established at a time when totalitarianism was rising and governments were claiming absolute authority over people's lives, their freedoms, even their souls. This was in 1925, and Pope Pius XI gave the world this feast as a bold and prophetic reminder that no government, no political system, no ideology, no earthly power has ultimate claim on the human heart. There's only one king. There's one king over all nations, all places, all times, Jesus Christ, and his reign is universal. His kingship is unlike any other. He reigns not with threats or fear or violence. His throne is the cross. And his crown is woven with thorns, as we see in our Gospels. We have the scene of the crucifixion of Christ. And his rule is one of love, mercy, and complete self-giving. He is the fulfillment of the shepherd king, like David, as we heard in the first reading from 2 Samuel. He shows us what every leader, every government, every authority is meant to look like. One who serves, one who protects, and one who ultimately will lay down his life for his people. This feast also calls to mind for us and is beautifully reflected in the powerful witness of Blessed Miguel Pro. Blessed Miguel Pro. He's the Mexican priest and martyr. One of the great witnesses to the kingship of Christ. His memorial actually falls today. It's November 23rd, but of course this year, with it being the solemnity of Christ the King, it gets outranked. But he's still being celebrated on this day. In the 1920s, Mexico, although today known really for its vibrant Catholicism, but at that time, even as recent as from the 1920s, Mexico was a place of really severe anti-Catholic persecution. Governments had become increasingly secularized and centralized, that even practicing the faith could cost one their life. Parishes, schools, convents were closed down. Church property was seized. Priests were forbidden to wear clerics, were forced into marriage. An entire state was emptied of its priests, many of whom were killed. And those who fought back were mocked as cristeros. Cristeros. Now, ironically, those Catholics would over time adopt that same term as a symbol of their faith, and it became a rallying cry and a source of pride for them. Cristeros. Blessed Miguel Pro resisted nonviolently, courageously, and joyfully. He ministered in secret, offering Mass in people's homes, bringing the sacraments to the poor, strengthening the faithful, even as he himself was being hunted down. Eventually, he was arrested, falsely accused, and in 1927 was sentenced to death without a trial. There's a photograph which captures the moment just before Blessed Miguel's execution. And it shows him with his arms outstretched, just like Christ on the cross, rosary in hand. Now, it's Viva Cristo Rey. Thank you. Viva Cristo Rey. It's really rare for a saint to be photographed like this just in the final moments of his life. And in those final moments where he was even asking for mercy upon his executioners and his enemies. And then he proclaimed with his final breath a cry that would echo across Mexico and still among Mexican Catholics today. Viva Cristo Rey. Long live Christ the King. It's said when Father Miguel was being led to the firing squad, the commanding officer who knew Father Miguel personally asked for his forgiveness. Asked for his forgiveness for what he was about to do. And it's said that Father Miguel said to him, "On the contrary, you do me a great honor. On the contrary, you do me a great honor to be able to imitate his Lord and King on the cross. We see this, of course, again in the gospel with the scene of our Lord's crucifixion, the soldiers jeering at him. But ultimately and paradoxically, they too do Christ a great honor and the repentant thief at his side, because their actions are the means that bring about our Lord's ultimate glory and redemption. They're the means by which the throne of the cross is established as Christ's kingdom is ultimately triumphant. The government published those images of Blessed Miguel in the final moments with his arms outstretched, and they did so in order to try to intimidate and frighten Catholics across the country. Instead, it had the opposite effect. It inspired greater enthusiasm. And thousands who in the following days would risk their very lives to accompany his funeral procession, shouting those same words, Viva Cristo Rey! That became the battle cry of countless martyrs. In fact, so powerful that some even had their tongues cut out to keep them from proclaiming Christ at the moment of their death. Among them were the Mexican martyrs, who were 25 other now canonized witnesses, including priests and laymen, who persevered in violent persecution and refusing to abandon their ministry or deny their faith. And St. John Paul II said at their canonization, they freely and calmly accepted martyrdom as a witness to their faith, explicitly forgiving their persecutors. You know, Blessed Miguel's courage was more than mere political defiance. It was more than mere political defiance. It was a confession of faith that no earthly authority could claim what belongs to Christ alone. And this pattern is not unique to the Mexican martyrs like Blessed Miguel. It's a truth woven into Christian history where the church is suffering and persecuted. The church, we so often see, that's where she is most vibrant, where she's strongest. The early church knew this. We had the memorial yesterday of St. Cecilia, an early Christian martyr from the 3rd century. The early church knew this. The Polish people knew it. The Mexican people knew it. And today our brothers and sisters in Africa know it, where millions are entering the church each year, even as Christians are facing kidnappings and bombings and martyrdom. We see these stories every day, notably in these days in Nigeria. As Tertullian, the early Christian apologist, would say, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Why? Because faith that costs nothing can become shallow. Faith that costs nothing can become shallow. It's faith that's been tested, that's even bled, becomes deep and courageous and vibrant and alive. Christ told us this would happen, and when he tells us, in this world you will have trouble. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. And in the Beatitudes, when our Lord says, blessed are you when they persecute you, rejoice, for the kingdom of God is yours. Like the early Christians, brothers and sisters, we live in a mortal dwelling place, but our true citizenship is in heaven, in the kingdom of God. As an ancient author wrote, Christians flourish under persecution. Christians flourish under persecution. So we should not be afraid when the world hates us for speaking truth or living differently, because we belong to another kingdom. As we heard in our second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, we've been transferred from one kingdom to another. And we have a king. There's been a lot of talk about kings lately. We have a king. In places where following Christ is costly, believers discover what we can too easily forget, that Christ's kingdom is not of this world, yet it is present where hearts are surrendered to him out of trust. That Christ's kingdom is present where hearts are surrendered to him in trust. So on this great solemnity, we're invited to ask, who is truly king in my life? Who is truly king in my life? Whose voice shapes my decisions, my priorities, my hopes? When Jesus truly reigns over everything, including our hearts, we're willing to give him everything, including our own lives, as the martyr saints witnessed to so powerfully. And until people have said yes to God in their hearts, this is what we're left with, is pain and tyranny and disorder and totalitarianism. You're going to have governments and political systems trying to fill something, but they necessarily have to push God out. Yet in the midst of that, God is always bringing about good, as we see with the beautiful witness of the martyrs. So today, as we honor Christ our King, may the example of Blessed Miguel Pro and all martyrs inspire us to give Christ first place in all things. May their cry become our own in the face of hatred, confusion, or fear. Viva Cristo Rey! Viva Cristo Rey! Long live Christ the King. Blessed Miguel Pro and all the holy martyrs, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I want to thank everyone who's already made a gift to support Catholic education in our diocese through the Stewardship for Saints and Scholars campaign.